All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, if you will follow me into this pitch black cave.
Okay.
No, it's okay.
All just, right. No, just no, watch it's fine. Yeah. I notice you drag me into a lot more scary situations than I drag you into.
It hardly seems fair. So one thing that you may know, and you probably do because you're a world-class Poindexter, is that...
I was going to say, fuck you. Point conceded, but it's still kind of mean.
Is that, you know, the insides of the Earth, crystal formations, rock formations are beautiful and happen kind of semi-randomly.
Right.
You know, chaos theory, Dr. Ian Malcolm, you know, the water is going to kind of wear things away. The crystal is going to build up in different patterns, stuff like that.
Right, right. It's like the Earth is actually sending us a message at a very, very slow time scale that we can barely understand.
Exactly, which is a good premise for like a Michael Crichton book.
Right. It's a good premise for a terrible book.
Yes, yeah, yeah. That's airport reading that text. However, there are certain places where this Earth is talking to us and we're just in the dark because like light never reaches here. Like, there could be any number of things around us. We don't know.
Gary, you're going to blind me.
No. It's okay. The darkness will do that.
Okay.
I am going to... good news. My great aunt died, and I got these cochlear implants that will improve our hearing.
Okay.
They're semi-used.
Are we going to get to hear bats fuck?
Yeah, probably, actually. Okay. That's a delightful side effect.
Okay, cool.
I have no idea how bats fuck. But
they're probably intertwined like beautiful demons.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I keep interrupting you.
Do bats have live birth?
And they're mammals.
Yeah, of course they do. Yeah, they don't have eggs.
Right.
But it's like it's hard for me to imagine like a bat coming out of another bat.
I can imagine a bat going into another bat, but that's a different story.
Oh, God, fuck yes, dude. Can I? Man. But we're going to use echolocation.
Okay.
So if we put in these cochlear implants and we kind of shout at the wall... we're going to look at this random, you know, collection of crystals and growths and stalactites and stalagmites. It's going to spell the name of a game.
Okay.
So,
Oh, wow. That one kind of glowed. Weird how this has happened.
Yeah. It's like Symphony of the Night.
Yeah. It's like a weird. It's like this wiring has been in our brains. We just had to be in the right kind of situation for it to fire off. Like
we had to have these implants.
Yeah.
My aunt was a bat.
No. All right, let's.
Bad. Yeah.
I'm gonna risk waking up my neighbor downstairs.
Okay, so we can kind of feel, you know, we can hear the things coming back. I can kind of visualize it and daredevil it here.
Okay.
Looks like it is Arrow Biz. Arrow the Acrobat.
Gary, I feel nothing.
Yes. We're changing the subject. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross. I still feel nothing. Gary, we're going to have to talk about this one every once in a while. I need help.
This is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yes. And this week we are playing a game called Arrow the Acrobat, which literally everything that is written about it includes something along the lines of, this is part of the mascot platformer craze of the early 90s.
This is like a real baby's first like writing about video games thing.
Right. You know,
Doki Panic.
It is such an also ran that like everybody, it's an also ran, but everybody saw it on the shelf at their rental place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, hey, what's the deal with that?
I own this game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I played, north of 10 hours of Arrow the Acrobat as a kid.
including the 20 to 30 minutes that you played of this for the show.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, give or take 20 or 30 minutes. I played this as a kid. And I kind of like this game. I don't hate it.
Huh.
It's as an adult, I recognize that it is entirely too slippery when you're moving around.
Oh, it's so
and
sloppy.
It's too hard, but it's very slippery.
It's very and slippery in a game that requires a certain degree of precision from you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That part is not good. Like, that part is bad.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing, the kind of fun mechanic of, like, the two things this game has going for it that are actually kind of good, I think, is this weird little, like, double jump, directional double jump thing you can do that you can ultimately kind of chain, like, bouncing off of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets really technical. Like, I didn't actually get a chance to watch one, but I bet you speedruns of this are kind of fun to watch. Because it, if you know what you're doing, I bet you can kind of do some neat stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
With that system.
Yeah. My problem with it is just like the stakes are so high. If you fuck up, you end up like basically back at the bottom of the level again in a way that is terrible to recover from, honestly.
And you likely get hurt.
Yeah.
And you know, you have a limited amount of health and lives, and even just like even if you have a lot of lives, mm-hmm. it's pretty easy to shoot through those. So that part, the other thing that's, and you probably didn't get this far into it because it is so hostile, but there are like a lot of different like little gameplay modes in this.
Yeah.
There's
like,
some
I
weird
got
like
to,
mode 7 stuff that happens later. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. I only managed to get to the second level, where you end up, riding around on the trapeze unicycles, whatever those are called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tightrope kind of things. Yeah.
Yeah. And that part sucks, but there is this like pilot wing style, like diving through rings mm-hmm. thing you do. You do like some trapeze stuff. Like you do some like kind of weird stuff later in this game. They're kind of fun. There's some like visual things. There's a level that's at night and you walk around with a spotlight on you the entire time, you know, because the premise of this is really weird. Is that these clowns, this evil doctor, scientist or whatever, brought these clowns in. They're fucking everything up, but Arrow doesn't want the audience to panic. So he's putting on a show. That's why you have to like, you do these little flourishes and stuff. He's a consummate showman.
Right.
That's Arrow for you.
Which, like, why not just send everybody home? Like, even if this
we got a bad case of midget clowns. Let's get out of here.
Like, even if he locked the doors, it's a tent. Somebody has a knife.
Yeah. Or even if you locked the doors, you had to have installed them because it's a tent.
Right.
Like, ain't no doors on a tent. Just crawl under it. Yeah, that part is, people could definitely leave.
Right.
But he's fooling them into thinking there's no problem, is the idea.
Right. As he goes around these dipshit clowns, trying not to die as they kind of just bumble into him.
They're real dipshit clowns.
Yeah.
And these guys.
Man, I mean, compared to the noble clown folk of not Dizzy, that's the egg people. Crazy clown. There we go.
Sure.
Oh yeah, or both. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like these are clowns with poise, with grace, mm-hmm. kind of with. I mean, I'm not afraid to say it—a certain moral superiority to regular folk. These guys, they're just regular goons, you know.
Yeah, they're subwoofos.
Yeah, they've got nothing going on upstairs. You know, they don't have a philosophy. They don't have a driving moral. It's it's deplorable, is what it is.
Yeah, they're pretty low quality clowns.
Yeah,
that's why they're cheap. But there's a wide variety of gameplay things. I feel like if it was tuned a little bit better, this could have been a cool game.
Yeah, I just, you know, there are lots of sins that a platformer can commit. I think that the worst one is it just doesn't feel good to move around.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And so like, I don't know that we described like the double jump. Like, I think it's neat. So you jump up, and then if you activate your jump again and press up or down, you will do like a little diagonal spin kind of thing in whatever direction you went. So you'll be 45 degrees up or 45 degrees down, depending on where you were facing. And
yes,
they're all
kind of corkscrew, much like his Arrow's dinger. So I assume.
Do you think Arrow's a duck? Gary, we know very little about bat sex.
I guess this is finally proved it. We talked a big talk, but it was all bullshit.
Yeah,
because we actually don't know. I don't know whether they have eggs. I don't know if they
do bats lay eggs.
Have penises. I don't know what they do.
Are they bugs? I don't know.
Do they have? Are they cloaca boys? I don't know. I honestly don't know. And you go to the zoo and just be like, yeah. You know, please just get to the money shop because like. This is important, and I'm tired of looking like an idiot online. I need to know what these boys do.
Do you think that? Well, if I went to my zoo, I would just watch them shoot them all.
Well, that's Cincinnati. I mean,
yeah,
that's your problem. That's like your solution to like 9/10 of problems.
Right. So. No, but if, like if you went to a bat enclosure, you know, some kind of I assume batterium or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
a battery of bats. Yep. And you just kind of like posted up there and asked a lot of questions. I think it'd be kind of cute for a while, but eventually you would be put on some kind of list for being just a little bit too curious.
Yeah. Like, this guy is trying to see what the mechanics of this would be.
No, my interest is purely academic.
Yeah, you can't take me away.
But it's a corkscrew, much like his dinger. And they introduce it very early on that like jumping as high as you can, or kind of like rocketing off of these trapeze or off of these or out of these cannons as high as you can isn't necessarily a good thing, because there are going to be spikes and stuff. So like you will be asked to, in midair, activate one of these things to get on a platform that's slightly over from where you were like launching toward in order to avoid danger.
It doesn't have a very smooth like difficulty.
No. And like, so that isn't what bothers me. I think that's a cool idea. And the sooner you introduce that, the sooner you can get used to it. Again, I just wish it was more responsive.
What if it was more responsive? I would want it to be in a safer environment.
Yeah.
You know, I would also want it to be a little zoomed out, so you had a little bit more context when you're making those decisions.
Yeah. So you know? It's one of those things like, you know, a tutorial would kind of suck, but if there was just kind of like a safe level before the clowns kind of burst in, where it's like you have like a bunch of little like toys or whatever, like, hey, go through these rings if you want to, or just go to the right and then activate this, you know, send in the clowns, right?
Yeah. Did you get far enough? I don't think they're in the second level where the guy from Prodigy is one of the enemies. There's like a little fire starter clown.
the dancer, sometimes keyboardist from Prodigy.
Yeah, from the Prodigy.
Yeah,
he's a clown that he does like slide kicks.
No.
Yeah, he's a frequent enemy in the later levels.
I didn't get to the fire starter, however. I love the arc of that guy coming in, becoming the face of the band, and actually like slowly starting to oust the actual musicians.
Yeah.
But I did not get to the fire starter.
Prodigy's good. You know what's not good in this?
Okay.
Is the music.
No. This is this is incredibly dour, kind of queasy circus music.
It is according to one of the reviews, it has lots of circus classics as far as songs go, including All Your Favorite Hit. which is the only circus song.
Yep.
But it's like it is like a weird kind of angrier version of that. And it's just a very short loop that goes on forever.
Yeah.
It's real bad.
And it's real warbly. I didn't get it, just so I played the SNES version. Which one did you do?
I did that because this was the one I had, so I played that as well.
Okay, yeah. And that's one that was recommended by Chris. Thank you, Chris. For submitting this. I understand like there's a little bit of controversy. One of the most documented things about this game is the audio difference between the SNES version and the Genesis version. And Gary, would you believe that we played the better sounding version of this game?
Not in your life.
Now we're just doing Sonic 3 Casino Night Zone.
The music's really bad. So this was the first game, and this is a Super Nintendo generation, that I listened to music while playing it, and listened to REM's Green on infinite repeat.
That is the most 1992 thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, this is I cannot listen to Green without thinking of Arrow the Acrobat. I cannot play Arrow the Acrobat without thinking of REM's Green.
that is weird, because that ruins like a quarter of a good album.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, that's that is a bizarre correlation to make. But it happens, right? Like there are like three separate Eels albums, or like a run of Eels albums, that I can't listen to without thinking like, oh, I'm reading an EverQuest right now, or I'm like leveling up an EverQuest, because I would just have Winamp open and like running commands, you know, so I could, you know, skip around from this cheery depressing song to this other cheery depressing song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gary, I'm watching the Firestarter video, and it's really something.
I'm really kind of surprised we haven't teenage dirtbagged it yet. It's kind of a plan.
Yeah, so. I mean, it seems like, oh man, he's in that spider's web. Yeah. Fuck.
We you know, the nice thing, I mean, the summer jams season and then the summer of Glom has been fun, but it has been restrictive.
Right.
So like, it's hard. I mean, I guess you could say Firestarter was a summer jam, but not really. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not part of the Summer of Glom. Like,
no. It has to be relegated to the 3 to 4 weeks that occupy non-program time on that show now.
Yeah, exactly. The longer the show goes on, the more it becomes programmed. Jeez, I'm watching a long play of this.
Okay.
And he just went through, there's like an outdoor area where there's, imagine like the hoboist clown. Like, you know, sometimes clowns are homeless.
Like a real, like Red Skelton kind of thing.
Yeah. His face with a big shaggy beard, like a bear hugger from Punch Out beard. Instead of a neck, he has an accordion. On the other side of the accordion is another version of his head, and his eyes follow you everywhere.
Oh God.
like Arrow just had to deal with that. So
this is a thing that exists now.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Poor guy.
It's a part of your world.
It's a part of all of our worlds.
Oh man. You're never going to escape. This is a profoundly ugly game.
I don't know. I think that all the enemies are really ugly. I kind of think Arrow looked good.
Man, just like looking at the... So this is an impression that goes way back. And it goes a little... Hey, God. No. I remember being very averse to this game for just based on the box art for this, because it would have been right up my alley as a young little Sonicite, you know, like, hey, this is more of a thing that you like.
I've run all the joy out of Sparkster.
Man, I played so much Sparkster as a youngin.
Yeah, I met my first wife on Sparkster.
but I remember very explicitly like picking this up, looking at it, like the quality of the 3D render and just the on the front and just his beady eyes and his little fangs. Like, I think a bat can be cute. I have nothing against a bat.
I think they're very cute.
Oh, they're great. Yeah. I think that the cuteness of a bat is kind of inversely proportional to the size or pronouncedness of its nose.
Oh yeah, because a pig nose is never cute.
Right,
that's also
right.
True of a pig. like a big potbelly pig that just has like a big wet snorfler, like, mm-hmm. That is no good. That's
right.
Too wet to be cute.
A little too wet. But then you get some of those bats that are just kind of like, it looks like they have little fleshy apricots glued to the front of their snoot.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not down with that. That's not,
yeah, that's,
you know,
a little much.
Yeah, yeah, I don't mean to body shame bats, like, whatever, do your thing, fly out from under that bridge in Austin, it's cool, man. Yeah. But yeah, it feels very unwholesome to me, this entire affair.
It is a little bit like, you know, it's not quite like it's not Bubsy though. Like, it's Sunsoft. It's the company that's the weird also ran.
Right.
You know, like, we're not Konami, we're not Capcom, we're Sunsoft.
Mm-hmm. And
remember
Sunsoft doesn't like Sunsoft does not universally make garbage.
Exactly. It's not unsavory inherently the way that like Bubsy is unsavory.
Right, well, Arrow doesn't want you to fuck him.
Yeah, well, exactly. There's
outside
no,
of
like,
this notebook that I call the bad place.
Arrow is not a sexual being.
No.
Like, he dances at the end of every level. He's very chill. He's a consummate entertainer. He's like Sammy Davis Jr. Like, you don't fuck Sammy Davis Jr.
No, he fucks you.
Yeah, he comes to you.
Yeah.
Like, you just sit back, you lay out the bait. And you just get out a book and
Sandy
sit in
snacks?
Your backyard.
you ring a ding ding that bell.
Yeah, you ring a ding ding that bell, baby.
Yeah.
You got your Sammy stacks and the Candyman can come and show you what it's like to make love in your backyard.
You have to put on your Carol O'Connor mask so it'll kiss you.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, baby. Or just, you know, just again, a candy shop front will do it as well.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
He's attracted by candy as a candy man.
Yeah.
So,
or you just say his name 3 times. You're good.
Oh, sure. Yeah. In a mirror. Candy man, baby. The candy man can.
Like, Arrow's origins are possibly the most mercenary and banal kind of thing. So the guy who designed Arrow actually went on to like be a designer. Like, he designed Crash Bandicoot, which I think is an ugly and gross design, but it's still kind of iconic. It is not as upsetting to me as as Arrow is. And also did like a bunch of design for Maximo Ghost and Glory, or Ghost of Glory rather, which is like a really pretty and well-designed game, I think. But just this is Wikipedia said it best. He was inspired in part by the mascots with attitude trend that was common following the introduction of Sega's Sonic the Hedgehog in 1991.
Yeah, how do we know?
He was inspired by the studio producer saying, hey, can you do something with attitude like Sonic?
Something with attitude. Yeah. That's we care about one thing. Man, I have less than zero affection for Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make this into like a classic Arrow versus Crash War or anything.
No. I mean, I think that battle's been fought a thousand times over.
Like, why are people into Crash Bandicoot?
I think it was a time and place kind of thing.
Bad games. Like, those are really boring, bad games.
Yeah.
Like rail platformers. Like, they're really weird. Mm-hmm. They're not very good.
Yeah. I think it's like a time or place kind of thing. I'm probably more of the more of the age that would have been in the pocket for Crash Bandicoot. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what? I was probably like 10, 9 or 10 when it came out. I think that, like, maybe there's a correlation between, like, did somebody older in your family own a PlayStation, and did they buy this for you for Christmas just to throw you a bone because you wanted to play the PlayStation, and this is the cartooniest thing.
And maybe they got, like, taken in by the advertising. I just have those commercials of Crash Bandicoot, like, staring at Mario, like, yelling at the Nintendo headquarters. You know, why are you doing this? This is a bad idea for you to, like, throw down this gauntlet, Bandicoot.
Right. Especially, you know, given that Mario kind of created the genre that you're trying to.
And that's not even really what he's doing. No. Like, it's so weird. Like, those games are not 3D platformers, really.
It's a weird kind of case. You know, I don't normally walk into a room and say, am I crazy because you all like this thing? But even from a, like, you know, from like a relative, like, you know, reading about Crash in Game Pro or whatever, by the time I got a PlayStation, I was more interested in, like, Final Fantasy. Like, I was a real nerdlinger about that stuff. I think that I got like Croc, and then immediately was like, this isn't the kind of game for me. But I remember it being like, just was it the marketing, was it just the consensus, was it this weird equal time kind of thing where it's like, yes, this is the this is the heir apparent at, you know, platformers, it's here, it's a voice for a new generation, it's gonna be here. Like, why are we all just accepting this?
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's the same way I felt when Sonic came around. So it's like, I'm probably not the best target, you know, audience kind of thing for it. But
yeah,
it had that kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
I mean, Sonic, I think Sonic is way better than Crash.
Games.
Like, I don't care about those, like, characters. But, like, I think they makes much better games.
Yeah. Man, oh man, this game has a legacy. Yeah, it's mostly the legacy that it was re-released.
Yeah, how many months do you think before we get a really tragic failed Kickstarter by the guy who designed this to bring it back?
by Mr. Siller?
Yeah.
I'm going to put it at like 14.
Yeah.
It's going to be long enough for us to forget it, but somebody will be listening to this well after the fact, well after it came out, and say, like, hey, did you guys know this only raised 20% of its goal?
And I'm going to look at it. I don't remember anything that we've ever said on recording.
When we talked about Arrow the Acrobat, huh?
Yeah, I don't actually know. Like, if I didn't have a list of episodes we've done, I wouldn't remember any of them.
Yeah.
So there's something about, you know, we're recording everything you say, that means you no longer have to remember it.
Nope.
And it goes away forever.
Can I talk about how uncomfortable I am that Arrow's rival is Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel?
Sure. Yeah,
I don't know. Just
it's a proud culture, man. I don't understand what your problem is.
But it kind of seems like it's a, okay.
He's cousin to Yokiro the Bandito, Bullfrog.
Yeah.
Or Nero the Bushido.
Yeah, Scalpy the ambushing horse. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And Popo the Raw Dog. Like, all together they form the League of Extraordinary Horn Boys. And they go and fuck justice. I don't understand what's hard to understand, Cole.
Well, they're sure not, because she's blind. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, girl, you got two sockets.
Oh,
for
no.
A bunch of boys. They don't fuck around, man.
She's not eyeless. She still has eyes.
The thing about
blind Yokiro, people is,
yeah, no, it's not that. It's about Yokiro and his time with the, you know, the Mexican mafia.
Yeah, the Mexican Yakuza.
The cartels.
Yeah,
yeah. So he, you know, the cartels, like, don't fuck around, dude.
No,
like,
no.
You don't just fuck. You fuck to send a message.
Mm.
Those guys.
Yeah, it's hard to shake that habit.
Yeah, exactly. If Breaking Bad has taught me anything, Hector.
Why is that head of justice on a turtle? No, don't go over there.
Exactly. I would like to see Zero the Kamikaze squirrel's head on a turtle. Just rolls up. That would have been a good advertising campaign for Crash. Like, just send other mascots' heads to Mario. Like, if Nintendo You're will not next. Come out and meet me, I will kill one mascot every hour until my demands are met.
Wait a minute, why is this just an envelope full of egg yolk? Oh no, Dizzy!
Yeah, yeah, you just get mailed a hard-boiled friend.
Hard-boiled friend is the weirdest Raymond Chandler kids book.
Yeah, it's from when he was getting sentimental in his old age.
Yeah.
There's some Game Facts bronze.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, there's a really long review called perhaps one of the most overlooked games of all time.
Yep, this is what I singled out too.
Yeah, it's not great, but the thing, it's not that funnily written. It's very long. Mm-hmm. There's also a fact for this that's 200,000 or like 200K.
It's the craziest thing. I do not want to admit how much I poured over that looking for anything.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's what's weird about it. It's not weird that like it's crazy in the fun way that we do on the show.
Right.
It's the longest, blandest like. Game fact,
right?
Like it's like Baldur's Gate levels of length, you know. But it just says in very excruciating detail what you actually do mechanically in Arrow the Acrobat. But this Fekot review here that he does, the thing that you probably maybe honed in on something different. The thing I honed in on was he's talking about level design, and it just like level variety is what he's equating with that.
Oh yeah.
He's like, oh, you go into the circus, you go outside, you go to a carnival, and there's four things. And then you go to like Dr. Eggbert's lab or whatever, Dr. Eggsir.
Yeah, Dr. Eggman. It's a crossover hit.
And he's like, but wait, you may say, that's only four levels. Don't worry, there are four sub-levels under each one, which I wasn't worried about.
Nope.
Like, that's actually bad.
Yeah. There's four times as much of this mediocre game. Oh, joy.
Even if it isn't mediocre, it's still the same biome for four levels.
Right.
Like, that's not good in good games.
No, I mean, look at Boogerman. That's not a good game, but, like, it suffered from that.
Yeah,
it suffered from just, like, we're going to need to make the most of this tile set.
Yeah. Yeah. So fuck you, Fekot.
So what I did was I zoomed in on the intro because like this was the fifth such thing that was like, in the winter of 1993, Sunsoft created Aero the Acrobat, another hero in the very big trend of platform mascots that year. It's
like, at least the very nice thing about that that paragraph is it reminds me of Plock.
Yeah,
I haven't thought about
what
Plock
is Plock.
I just remember seeing the cover of Plock. I've never played Plock.
Even looking at the cover of Plock, he just looks like a very angry kind of like top with a muscular body.
Then go with it. That's Plock.
That's Plock.
He's tip to toe.
That's
it.
Block. That's Plock. No, yeah. Block is his enemy.
Dun, 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 dun. Plock looks kind of badass. I don't know.
Yeah, he looks real angry. He looks like American Kirby.
Well, and the levels are all like super candy and colorful and stuff, and Plock is just going wrecking fucking shop. we gotta nominate Plock for this thing, dude.
Plock is not gonna have any of this.
Yeah, Plock is back, baby.
So there's a game. You ever have one of those mystery games from your childhood that you just kind of only have a vague recollection of? You can only describe it in certain terms, and you search around for it like half-heartedly, and then maybe sometimes you find it, maybe sometime you don't.
Sure.
Yeah. This happened with me. Plock just reminded me that we should probably do this for a show because I don't think anybody has submitted it. A game from my childhood is called Smart Ball. You ever play Smart Ball, Gary?
I've heard of Smart Ball, but I don't remember the deal with Smart Ball.
I want to go back to it. Kind of like the Tiny Toons thing. I just want to make sure. I just want to revisit what a shithead I was.
Yeah, I'm down for it.
Yeah.
Well, we can do like a duology of episodes.
Oh, yeah. Just pick it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can just kind of each pick one.
Yeah.
So, I think I might be out of things to say about Arrow.
Me too. And there's not an awful lot going on. I don't have anything growing on my eye. I'm not saying to gloat. I'm just saying, I'm saying that in terms of, I don't have any, kind of similar, thing to throw in.
Yeah. There's not that much to it.
Nothing on that level. No.
Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah.
Well, someday, perhaps you will have something growing on your eye.
Oh, you know, we can only hope. Don't.
Yeah. I'll save the egg.
Cheer up, bud.
When it comes out, and then we can plant it in your eye.
Okay, cool. we can be buddies.
We'll just pass it back and forth for eternity, like you and me and everyone we know.
Yeah. How weird would it be if that was just the ticket to becoming immortal, kind of like those jellyfish that just de-age?
Yeah. Yeah, or like, or if there's something you have to do to be immortal, but it was just like a pain and took, like, it was like 7 hours a day you have to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You're immortal, but seven hours a day.
Exercising? Fuck.
Yes. who's adjusted this again?
This was a person named Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris. Thanks, Chris. Yeah.
My neighbor had this for the first SNES when I was younger, and we played it a lot. It always made me think of off-brand cereal, partially because of the titular character, partially because it felt like a Mario and Sonic crossover bastardization. Apparently, they made two of these and a spinoff. Yes, Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel got its own game.
Yep. And Arrow the Backrat 2 was also a game.
It was sold in a box.
Yes. I think I played Arrow 2, and it's like the same thing.
Mm.
If I recall. Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you very much for suggesting this game.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to suggest a game, you can hit us up at the duckpea.tv/abjectsuffering. There's a widget there.
Mm-hmm.
You can also support us on Patreon if you go to patreon.com/duckpeatv.
Yeah. We have a weirdly active Facebook page for this show, actually. A lot of people throw up videos related to things we talked about, make suggestions and comment on things. If you want to be a part of that, go to facebook.com/abjectsuffering.
Yes. Yeah. And then also ratings, reviews, and iTunes. All those things are always appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So until next time, what is a Zubat?
Oh, no. There we go. I was going to say iDog is back, but okay.